It is time for the Ancient Landmark, brought to you by the Caneyville Church of Christ, meeting at the four-way stop in Caneyville, Kentucky. The Caneyville Church of Christ meets for Bible study on the Lord's Day at 10 a.m. and worship at 10:45. We meet Sunday afternoon at 5. We meet for Wednesday night Bible study at 7. If you'd like to ask a Bible question or schedule a Bible study, please feel free to call 589-4167. Your speaker today is Jared Jacobs.
Welcome to this another edition of the Ancient Landmark. My name is Jared Jacobs, and I'm so glad to be with you and so thankful for this opportunity that we have. We might open up God's Word that we might study together. I encourage you, if you will, to get a Bible out and turn with me to the book of 2 John. 2 John, a very short letter, but it has many, many good, valuable, potent, needed lesson in it that we have, of course, been having a few lessons already in this. And so if you want to go back and look or listen to, we've got them all archived on our website, caneyvillechurchofchrist.com, and you can look those up, and we studied together. Of course, with me is a good friend, Brother Mike Davis, and he preaches in Orleans, Indiana, and we're glad he's been able to be with us here the last several days as we've studied through the book of 2 John. So thankful he can come and to be a part of this work at this time. Well, thanks for being here.
Glad to do it. Glad to be with you. And if anybody down there around your radio listening area is in the Orleans, Indiana area, stop by and see us. We meet every Sunday morning at 10 for Bible study, 10:45 for a morning worship, 5 for evening, 7 o'clock Wednesday night, men's class Tuesday at 10 o'clock. And if you see my red vehicle in the parking lot, don't worry about it. Just come on in. I'm right here in the office and be glad to study with anybody and discuss. Just meet you. Be glad to do that. Come by anytime.
Yes, I know it, and I've been welcome there several times, and it's
absolutely, it's
a good experience, and so anyone's up around that area of the world, I know you'd be welcome for sure. And so it's been a pleasure to have Mike with us. He's been with us before different times and studying God's Word, and I'm glad we have this opportunity. I want to jump into the book of 2 John, and if we will, let's go over to 2 John. We had been studying really just kind of going verse by verse, and we come down through about verse 6, and so verse 7 says this. We'll just read it together, and then we'll start. It says, "For many deceivers," this is John talking, "many deceivers are entered into the world, who confess not that Jesus is come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. Look to yourselves, that we lose not those things which we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward. Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. If there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. For he that biddeth him Godspeed is partaker of his evil deed." And just finish out. "Having many things to write unto you, I would not write with paper and ink, but I trust to come unto you and speak face to face, that our joy may be full. The children of thy elect sister greet thee. Amen." And so here in this, might say, last half, perhaps, of this letter, last half or so, John has written, of course, to the elect lady and her children. He's talked to them, talked about how great it is that they have been walking in the truth, their love for the truth, the keeping the commandments of God, and so on. And right around in here, verse 7, Mike, is kind of like we shift over, we hinge or we kind of pivot over to some needs they had, mm-hmm. and some warnings. There's warnings here.
It's like anybody would do with somebody that they dearly love. And John dearly loved this elect lady and her children. But there were things out there that would interfere with their love for Christ and their dedication to him. So John simply says, you've got to watch yourself. There's deceivers that have entered into the world. Deceivers are liars that make it look right. The old adage is, be careful of used car salesmen. You know, the car may look good, but it runs like a lemon. Well, and I know a lot of car dealers that are members of the church that aren't like that, so I'm just using that as an example here. By the same token, a deceiver is one that would please Satan. He was a deceiver. He was a liar. He was a murderer. He cares nothing for God. So there's many individuals that care nothing for God. They refuse to confess that Jesus Christ was come in the flesh. They are liars. They're deceivers. And they are against Christ, anti Christ. Jared, I don't want to waste a lot of time with this because we want to get on down through here, but an antichrist means just that. He is against Christ. And all you have to do is look at current events in the United States, and you can see how many people are against God, against Christ. The Bible isn't welcome in a lot of places where it used to be welcome. You can absolutely, in some places in this nation, you can be refused service if you take your Bible in and start reading it at the table. People don't want Christ around. There are people that have a manifesto written that they are supposed to destroy churches, and they're talking all denomination. But on top of that list is any church that believes that Christ is God's Son, the Savior. That's a manifesto to them. Destroy it. Well, as we said in a couple of lessons ago, if you destroy the law, then you can destroy the lawgiver. And if you destroy the lawgiver, you're a law to yourself. And if you're a law to yourself, anything goes. But you can't exempt God's existence. God's still there. And at the end of time, God judges. You've been against him. You're destroyed in eternal hell because of a rejection of a commandment that is so plain and simple. This elect lady and her children kept it. They walked in it. John simply saying, be careful. There's people that want to knock you out of that way.
And they have been around. If you look in the book of 1 John, he said the spirit of Antichrist has already worked. He said, yes, in fact, there are many Antichrists, and many are opposed to Christ.
Yes.
And then just what you're saying, Mike, it really hadn't changed. In that sense, there's still many antichrists, many Absolutely. People opposed to Christ.
Well, and that's why John says at verse 8, look to yourselves.
Yes.
We can deceive our own selves. We can indulge in something that we think is so right and so good and not check it with God's word carefully, that we lose those things that took us years to make and solidify. The things that we've wrought, but we think, oh, this is better. This is better. No, that's Satan telling you. You can edge yourself away from God. Look at the green pasture over here. Let me give a quick example. I knew a man that was raised to understand this truth. He obeyed it. He even preached and led singing in various places. And he went off to college. He was all by himself there at college. And a fellow asked him one Sunday to go play tennis one Sunday morning. Well, it bothered him to go that first Sunday morning, but the next one, he says, you know, it was kind of fun, nice day, let's go again. And it wasn't but less than a month that he quit going altogether, quit reading his Bible, and now he doesn't go anyplace, sits on a creek bank and fishes when he can, stays at home. He's lost all those things that he'd worked to build, and he's going to lose a full reward because he allowed himself to be deceived. Mm-hmm. That's why John says to this wonderful, wonderful lady and her children, look to yourselves. Paul said, examine yourselves. See whether you be in the faith.
Then Corinthians, yeah.
Know you not your own selves that Christ is in you. It lets you be reprobate. 2 Corinthians 13:5. Mm-hmm. The word reprobate means garbage. Mm-hmm. If we're not in Christ, according to the inspired word of Paul, 2 Corinthians 13:5, we could become garbage. Waste everything we've built up instead of receiving a full reward because of deception.
And here, if you're not in Christ, you're that way. And here's the thing about it. If you're in Christ, you can still lose it that way too.
Absolutely.
And that's the writing here. Look to yourselves was writing to the elect lady and her children, writing to Christians.
Yes.
Those who had believed on Christ, repented of their sins, confessed him and been baptized. Those people who had followed the Lord's plan of salvation. And now he says, you need to look to yourselves and make sure that we lose not those things we have wrought. The word wrought there has to do with work or action or labor. He says, the things we have done, make sure you don't lose it. Make sure this is not gone or lost. And he says, it can be lost. And so there again, the idea of, once saved, always saved, or the idea that, well, if you're saved, you can never be lost. That's not what John taught. John didn't teach that for 1 second. And right here in verse number 8 says, do not look to yourselves. That means take heed, beware, that you don't lose those things that you've wrought. You can lose. They,
Paul was right on it too when he said, "Let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall."
Mm-hmm.
We get overconfident in ourselves. Our confidence has to be in Christ, not man.
Mm-hmm.
And therefore, increase your faith. How do you do that? You read, you study, you learn, you obey. It's Peter said it, that we grow in the grace and the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Jared, I don't think anybody has a problem growing in knowledge. They just read and study and learn. The problem is growing in grace.
Mm-hmm.
God provides those things that we cannot provide for ourselves. That's grace. We'll grow in the understanding that you still have needs. Grow in that. Understand that your needs. You're not alone in making your in understanding you've got more to do to be saved. You've got to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. And the needs that we have in that, the Lord provides. By mm-hmm. the same token, if we say, "Well, I've been baptized, I go to church on Sunday, that's all I need to do," you're not built a thing, really. And you've lost what you could build. This elect lady was a marvelous lady. She was not just elect. Her children were elect. They're dedicated to Christ. And yet John still warns them. You look to yourselves. There's deceivers out there. Don't let that influence you.
Yes. And that was the danger right there. Was those deceivers that come in, and you need to look to yourself. And so that's a warning that the deceivers are so good. It can fool about anybody.
Yes, sir.
If you don't have, and that's the thing. Somebody says, but this guy or whoever, he sounds so good, and he yeah. seems like he has some Bible, seems like he reads the Bible and everything, and so, you know, he sounds real good. Well, yes, that's what deceivers do. Deceivers sound real good. Deceivers sound like they have something or they have some knowledge that you don't have. And even sometimes they'll take the Bible. Why not? The devil did it.
Yeah.
Look at Matthew chapter 4. The devil took and misused Scripture. But in the misuse, the way he started, he quoted Scripture to Jesus. And so if the devil will use Scripture, then why should I be surprised when his servants do the same?
Absolutely.
So it's a matter of me then having to know... You talk about grow in grace and grow in the knowledge. You talk about 2 Timothy 2:15, to study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. 2 Timothy 2:15, to rightly divide means to handle accurately or to handle correctly. And so that's what I need. That stands in contrast with the deceivers over here.
Yeah.
Because these deceivers, they're not going to handle God's word correctly. They don't care. They're trying to deceive you. So look to yourselves here. We're still in verse 8, I promise. Look to yourselves, see, because you've got to examine yourself. Make sure that you do not lose the things that you have wrought, the things you have worked for. Those things. Now, how do you do that? You handle God's word accurately. Go ahead.
They want to receive a full reward.
Mm-hmm.
Well, anything less than a full reward is not a good thing.
Hmm.
You know, hand you a trophy that doesn't have the plaque on it that tells you what you won. See, that's less than a full reward.
Hmm.
The Lord's not going to hand you a crown of life and say it's only good for 20 days because you don't get a full reward. You either get the crown of life because of faithfulness or you lose it all.
Hmm.
The full reward is a crown of life and eternity with God, redeemed from all these things eternally. That's the full reward. We can't describe it in literal terms, Jared, because we don't understand eternity.
Mm-hmm.
But it's something that never goes away. I know it's not a literal crown because flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom. There's nothing temporal there, but that's the best that the Lord through John could describe it, is this marvelous crown. And he called it a crown of life. Well, what kind? Eternal.
Mm-hmm.
Why eternal? Because Jesus is. Now go back to John 14:6 that we've used so much through this study. Mm-hmm. Jesus is the way, the truth, the life. Therefore, this elect lady was in Christ, the way, in Christ, the truth, mm-hmm. in Christ, the life. She and her children were in that. Where's Christ now? Right hand of God. If you're in Christ, in the church, by hearing, believing, repenting, confessing, and being immersed, Christ adds you to the church. You take heed to yourself. You add to your faith, virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, godliness, brotherly kindness, and charity. Be faithful unto death. You've got a full reward. It's not half a reward. It's the whole thing. Mm-hmm. And without that whole thing, nothing.
It's not saying you're going to get a full reward in contrast with everybody else that gets a half. It's you get a full reward in contrast to people that get nothing.
Yeah.
Well, I won't say nothing, but you're not getting a reward. You're getting the punishment.
That's right.
And so you get a full reward or you get a full punishment. And so the decision or when that's determined is determined now while you live. Yeah. How we live and how we discuss our how we live and how we act from day to day and how we treat each other, how we respond and are faithful to God. Yeah. So all those things come into effect, certainly. Let me go ahead and pause for a moment. Remind folks that this program is brought to you by the Caneyville Church of Christ. The Caneyville Church of Christ meets together on the Lord's Day at 10:45 for worship and 5 in the afternoon for worship. We also have Bible study times, classes for all ages. We have those Bible study times on the Lord's Day at 10 a.m. and also Wednesday night at 7. You'd be our honored guest if you come and be with us at any of those times. We'd love for you to come visit with us. Bring an open Bible. Bring an open mind as we study and as we learn from the Bible, the book of God. If you have any questions on what we do, why we do it, then please ask. Know that you are welcome to do that. I hear sometimes from people that say, well, you know, I asked the preacher this or I asked, you know, and then they got mad at me and they won't let me ask a question. That's not the way it is here. So you come be with us and you ask your Bible question. If you have any Bible question at all, we'd love to talk to you about it, to study with you, and to talk to you about these things of a spiritual nature, whether it be on 2 John or any other thing, or ask us why we do what we do. Whenever you come visit with us and you sit down and see what we do in our worship, ask us why we're doing it. And we'll be glad to talk to you and give you a Bible answer for your Bible question. If you would like I said, come be with us. We meet there near the intersection of Highway 62 and Highway 79, near the four-way stop, Caneyville, Kentucky, in Grayson County. We have a website available, CaneyvilleChurchOfChrist.com, and also our Facebook page, and you can go there, Caneyville Church of Christ, look us up on Facebook. You can ask us questions, send us messages, emails, all kinds of things that way. And we strive to update several times in the week. So there's always something there new for you, either to read or to watch or to listen to or whatever. Know that those things are available. And if you want to have a Bible study, us just sit down together and study God's Word. Call me, 589-4167. Text me. I'd love to hear from you. Love to talk to you about these things of a spiritual nature. Or if you want to contact me about a correspondence course, we can set that up. It's absolutely free. It won't cost you anything. And we'll send you lesson one and you know, so on and so forth. But we'll get that started for you. So just know that that is available. Those things are there for you. And so just contact me. Love to hear from you at any time. Let's jump back into this. So based on what we've learned so far then, in verse 9, then the statement of John is, whosoever. All right, so look to yourselves that you not lose what you had. You receive a full reward, but I need to tell you this too. Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. But he that abideth in the doctrine of Christ hath both the Father and the Son. And just to complete the thought, he said, if there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed, for he that biddeth him Godspeed is partaker of his evil deeds. So, Mike, when we look into this, again, we're getting more warnings. John has said, I love you, you're doing a great job, you need to keep it up, you need to keep going, you, your children, here, dear lady, elect lady, you need to walk in the truth, keep doing it, but I need to remind you this.
Yes.
And now, well, verse 9.
You take the first phrase of verse 8, look to yourselves, would mean when you get to verse 9, so either you and or your children could transgress. Hmm. It's a matter of staying in the truth of Christ. Whosoever transgresses, goes beyond, exceeds, and abides not in the doctrine of Christ, as the old farmer would say, jump the fence. He's not in the pen anymore. He's not in the safe area. Abides not in the doctrine of Christ, he doesn't have God. Without God, what do you really have? Ever think of that? If you take God out of your life, out of your existence, then you've also taken God out of anything that has to do with your soul, because the soul came from God. Solomon, when he wrote Ecclesiastes, said that the body would return to the dust as it was, Ecclesiastes 12. But the soul returns unto God who gave it. It goes back to God's decision, God's choice as to whether it would dwell eternally with him or be cast into eternal hell because it failed to obey him. Well, look at verse 9. If you don't have the doctrine of Christ, you don't have God. Well, if you don't have God, how are you going to heaven? He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he that stays within that truth, that love, that word of God, and proves all things and holds fast that which is good, he that abides in the doctrine of Christ has both God and the Son. They dwell in him richly in all wisdom, Colossians 3:17. Jared, I don't know how better to explain it. We used to be called walking Bibles because we knew the truth so well that that's what we talked about. It wasn't how's Indiana basketball against Kentucky basketball. This year probably won't be anywhere. But be that as it may, we used to talk about, folks would talk about sports, they talk about the weather, they talk about farming and everything. If the word of God dwells in us richly, well, the great example that I can think of right now is looking at you here. Every time you and I even get on the phone, we're going to spend time talking about God, Christ, and the church. Why? Because we're a part of it, and we love it, and we want to protect it. That's why John is saying, you be careful. If you don't stay in Christ, you don't have God. If you do abide in the doctrine, the teaching, doctrine means teaching, the gospel of it, the word of God, you abide in it. You don't have only just God. You've got Christ too. That's 2-1. I'll take those odds every time. Stay in the truth. Because at verse 10, somebody comes to you and they don't bring this doctrine. How are you going to know whether they're bringing it or not if you don't know what it is yourself? See, you had it highlighted there a little bit ago at verse 2, for the truth's sake, which dwells in us. It lives in us. It thrives in us. Colossians 3:17. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Now, notice the next statement, in all wisdom. Well, you can't get wisdom without knowledge. And the only way to get knowledge, put your nose in the book, read it, and learn it.
Yeah.
That's the only way to do it. So that this doctrine has to dwell in us richly, so that if somebody comes to us and they don't have it, we don't indulge them. You don't bring them into your house. Don't indulge them.
That's right.
Don't bid them Godspeed.
Bid them Godspeed, even.
Instead, teach them the truth. Tell them why you want to reject what they have to sell to you. Give them God's truth. Neither bid them into your house. Don't receive him. Don't bid him Godspeed. Because if you do, you're sharing in his evil deeds. So instead, teach them the truth. Now, if I've got about 30 seconds, I need to tell a good story here. Years ago, there was an older lady that stopped on my house porch one time, knocked on the door. Her first question was, do you want to go to heaven? Well, how is anybody going to answer that?
Yeah.
But she wanted to tell me that only 144,000 people were going to get to go. So I looked at her, and with all honesty, I said, then why would you want me and my family of four to join your religion and lessen your odds? Well, that got her attention. I didn't bid her into my house. I went out onto the porch, and we had a nice place to sit down there on the porch. And I told her, I said, if you believe that only 144,000 folks are going to heaven, would I be able to show you, would you listen to me if I could show you that anyone that believes the gospel of Christ and stays in it and it alone can go to heaven? Would you accept that truth? She visited with me for about an hour. Her husband was across the street teaching the same false doctrine she was teaching. When she got in his car and told him what we discussed, he started the car, left town, and never saw him again, and nobody else in town saw him.
Wow.
Now, that I don't know what they did with that truth, but I will tell you, Jared, you can't indulge falsehood unless you know the truth. Or if you indulge falsehood, it's because you don't know the truth.
Mm-hmm.
But if you know the truth, then falsehood comes out like a wart on your nose, and you're not going to give it any heat.
Mm-hmm. And so there you find it. I mean, that's just following in the example, or following in the statements here of 2 John 9-11.
Yes, sir.
See? And you abide not in the doctrine of Christ. It's interesting. That's why I was looking back at verse number 2 for a moment.
Yes.
Because verse 2, he says, the truth sake which dwells in us. All right. Well, dwell, that's the same thing as live or abide. So
yeah.
He says, here's somebody who transgresses and does not abide. Abideth not. They don't abide. They don't dwell. They don't live in the doctrine of Christ. Therefore, they don't have God. If you abide, all right, dwell, live, same thing. If you abide, you have both the Father and the Son. But if you go back to verse 2 of 2 John, and in verse 9, the last part of verse 9, he's basically saying the same thing, or reminding them, said, listen, you're dwelling in the truth. Verse 2, you're dwelling in the truth. Verse 9, he said, you abide or dwell in that doctrine, you have the Father and the Son. If you want fellowship with God, and you want fellowship with Jesus Christ, it's not going to be based on a feeling. It's not going to be based on what you wish. It's not going to be on some experience or something like that. The way you dwell with Christ and the way you have that fellowship with God and Christ is because you are abiding, living in the teaching of Christ. And that goes back to obedience again. So you're going to do what the Lord says. You're going to follow His commandment. And we spent time talking about commandment in another program. You're going to follow the commandment, live it, follow it, and there's where the fellowship comes in.
Yes, sir. 1 John 1:5-10.
And then whenever
the light is God is in the light.
Yes. And so if there come any unto you, bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. But I want to tell you this. Even someone comes in and doesn't bring this doctrine, I'll know, because it won't sound like anything I've ever heard before.
Exactly.
I know what the truth is. We need to know what the truth is. You know what? And you look today and somebody says, well, that's part of the problem. You know, you religious people, and this one says one thing, this says something, this one says something, and everybody's contradicting each other. No, what's happening is you got people contradicting the truth. All we're seeing is contradictions. We don't realize that there is, a lot of people don't realize there is something called truth. That's what you got to hold on to.
Yeah.
And once you see that, then you realize, yeah, there's a lot of people contradicting. They don't have God. They're transgressing. But you ever find the truth, and you just open up God's Word, and you read it and study it, whenever you do that, guess what's going to happen? You're going to know the truth, and the truth's going to make you free, John 8:32. And then that's, again, connected with Christ. You're going to know Christ. Christ will make you free.
But if don't be taking verses out of context to prove what you can't prove.
Mm-hmm.
You know, leave it in the context. Don't be changing things. And God's Word will tell you exactly the truth. You know, if you take it out of context, you can make anything believable. You know, by the same token, if you leave it the way it's written, you can do like a friend of yours and mine always says when he's preaching, take your finger and put it on the verse.
Mm-hmm.
And that's exactly what all of us have to do.
What
prove all things. Abide in this doctrine.
Don't bid him Godspeed. Don't partake in his evil deeds. Stand up. And that's what John's encouraging, and that's what we need to understand as well. There is such a thing as right and wrong, my friends. We need to respect it. I tell you what, I'm so thankful for this time, so thankful for our study. And Mike, I'm glad you're with us today. Always a joy to be with you, and I just really appreciate all that we've been able to do in studying and learning from the book of 2 John. I appreciate it. So thankful for our time. And again, if you have a question, you can contact me, 589-4167. Send an email, send a Facebook message, whatever. Love to hear from you. Send me a text, whatever. And let's talk about God's Word. Learn it and follow it all the days of our life. So thankful for this time, my friends. So thankful Mike was with us today. Until next time, Lord willing, we bid you good day.
You have been listening to The Ancient Landmark, brought to you by the Caneyville Church of Christ. Tune in tomorrow at this time for another study from the Book of God.